As you might have read in your bulletin, and you know we've talked about, we've had a big weekend, some bigger than others. But we're blessed today to have Ryan Edberg here with youth, Kingdom Youth Conferences. And so Ryan's going to come and he's going to get to share with us. I'll just let you know, toward the end, there's going to be opportunity to get to sow into that ministry. So we'll have opportunity for that as we're finishing our worship. But can we welcome Ryan? This is Ryan Edberg.
Good morning. Well, we're not in a denominational church this morning, so I feel free to preach. Is that all right? All right. Man, my name is Ryan Edberg. I'm married for 11 years now. I have four beautiful children. I'm a little bit older than I look, just a little. But it is a privilege to be here this morning. And as you know, we just want to thank this church. Will you guys give it up again for your pastors for allowing us to even be here? There, all this weekend, there was hundreds of kids, or at least 100 kids filling this altars, praying and worshiping God because of this church and you guys opening up your doors to us. It was powerful. Kids giving their hearts to Christ. It was a powerful, powerful weekend. Dreams being fulfilled. We had a lot of great ministry time with these students. So thank you guys. I believe this generation needs a wake-up call. I believe that the enemy is trying to steal this generation. I believe we live in a generation that is illiterate, or biblically illiterate, to the Word of God. And that we need to teach these students the Word of God. As I was saying, I've got four kids. My oldest name is Taylor. She is an amazing girl. She's very emotional. And she's amazing and good at everything. But one day she came up to me. She was probably about four. And she looked at me and said, "Dad, can I have a popsicle?" And I said, "Yeah, Taylor, go ahead, have a popsicle." Kept on working. And she came up a little bit later and said, "Dad, can I have a popsicle?" I said, "Yeah, you can have a popsicle." You know, a few minutes later, she came up and said, "Dad, can I have a popsicle?" And I was like, "Taylor, I said you could have a popsicle. Go get a popsicle." And right then, God spoke to me and said, "Remember that. Remember that." And I was like, "God, what does that mean? What are you trying to say?" And it got me thinking and just starting to read the Bible. You know, the biggest thing that I think God wants is he just wants to be believed. He just wants believers. He wants not just people to say and just they go out, but he wants to be believed. He wants his word to be believed. And when he says something, sometimes we keep asking for what he's already said. I come into church all the time and I hear different people get up, and it's not a bad thing. We're all meaning good. But somebody would get up and say, "Dear God, please be with us this morning. I ask you to come into this service. I ask you to," and God says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." So what are we really saying? Are we saying that we don't believe the word of God? What are we saying? Because we need to say, "Thank you, God, for being with us this morning. Thank you, God, for your power working through me. Thank you, God, for what you've instilled inside me to go preach the gospel." God has placed inside of us something so powerful, and we teach these students all up here. I got to preach on yesterday afternoon, and my heart for this generation. Do you know that the devil, we teach the kids, you know, that the devil's never going to come and jump out of a bush with red horns and a pitchfork and say, "Rawr." This is never going to happen. If it does, it's probably Halloween, and don't worry about it. It's fine. It's not him. But where he attacks the students is right here in the mind. He attacks us right here by placing something in there. And did you know that every single believer, every Christian, has more authority on this earth right now in his pinky than all of the hell combined, all the demonic whatever, this and that? More power in one little pinky. So the devil is not afraid of these Christian students. So he's not afraid of the body of Christ, that of what the authority that they have. What he is afraid of is that you'll figure out what you have. Because once you find out what you have and who you are in Christ, it's over with. It says that the devil walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may destroy. He doesn't even know. He's going to test you to see if he can or not. And we teach these students, it's not you. It's not you, because this is who you are in Christ. It's who you are in Christ. So God wants to be believed. I started reading and I saw in different verses, it's in John 3, 34, 35, it says, let me go here real quick. Hebrews 10 and 38. I'm going to go to this other verse in a minute. But Hebrews 10 and 38, it says, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure with him. Also in Romans 1:17, it talks about the just living by faith. And so I started to go down this process of like, God, everything I'm reading is like the just will live by faith. The just will live by faith. What does it mean, live by faith? And sometimes as Christians, in the body of Christ even, we think that living by faith is salvation. Like, I said my prayer and salvation, and that's it. Like, now I'm living by faith. But that's not it. God wants to be believed in everything in the scriptures. Everything that he says, everything in his word, the infallible word of God, the Bible, everything. That's a promise that you can stand on. I started to think about this, and even, you know, we hear different worship songs that are great. And I'm not talking about this morning's worship, but if you listen to modern worship today, it's not biblically correct. It's a lot of beautiful words that's like, God, you're like an ocean, you're like a mountain, you're like a tree, you're like, what are you talking about? What does that mean? Like, we right after the hurricane down in Texas, our church is singing, you love me like a hurricane. And I'm like, what are we saying? Why are we saying these things? We have verses that are with us. They're from Australia. And they do some worship that is phenomenal, because they're called verses, because everything they sing is just straight scripture. It's just scripture. And when these kids leave these conferences, they're singing, they don't even know it, but it's scripture in their heart. We will get the word in them by any means necessary. Because once that word is in them, it's over with. It's over with. And so, we were talking about the just shall live by faith, the just shall live by faith. And so I started to study that and just kind of figure it out. And I was struggling in my life in finances. And I was like, you know, what do we do? I started to study things out. And did you know that the tithe is an Old Testament principle? Don't attack me yet. I'm going somewhere. Get him! It's not bad to give a tithe. It's great to give a tithe. But without your faith behind it, you're just paying a bill. And so I went and I started to study and just look at the tithe and what it is. It's an Old Testament under the law about giving a tithe and a 10%. And a lot, I started to talk to different pastors. And my, I have a brother-in-law who's a pastor. And he would call me and be like, well, yeah, we're, I don't know how we're going to make things meet. Just writing my tithe right now. I just don't even know. And I'm like, that is just a bill to you. You might as well just fold it up and put it in your pocket. It's going to have the same effect. Do you know God doesn't really need your funds? It's really a test of your faith. Now, I say that a tithe is an Old Testament principle, but giving is a biblical principle. Giving is a biblical principle, and that's why we give. You look at the New Testament, they brought everything. They brought everything they had, and that's why it's not about an amount or a 10%. Or if you give a 10%, that's great. But I'm talking about giving faith, believe what you're giving for. So it's not, God talks about out of a joyful heart, the widow that came and put two mites, he's like, that's it. That's the heart I'm looking for. And the people bringing all this, you know, big bags of money, and they're like, here it is, look at me. You know, it wasn't the same thing. Giving in faith. So I started to look and I read this scripture. If you give to a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. You give to a rich man, you receive a rich man's reward. And so I was like, I'm going to believe. So I was broke. So here's a good thing. When you're broke, it doesn't matter anymore. You're still broke. So it's like, well, I got $2,000 in my account. So I'm not going to pay my bills anyways. So what am I going to do? So I wrote that check, $2,000. I had this friend who was a multimillionaire. And I sent him a check. And he calls me a few days later. He's like, what are you doing? What is this for? I said, well, it's not for you. You don't, it has nothing to do with you. Don't worry about it. Just cash it. I said, this is for me. I don't care about whatever. And this isn't going to mean anything to you. Like, you can probably just put it in your fireplace to get the fire going or whatever you want to do with it. But I said, this means something to me. And I gave in faith. And so I started just believing. I'm like, God, I'm doing this because you are in charge of my finances. You are in charge of my finances. And a few months later, I had a little over a $20,000 blessing that came in. And I was like, it works. It works. It works. But at the time, it was a few months of me and my wife saying like, are you sure it works? Are we sure this is going to... I mean, it wasn't like an overnight thing. It was probably 5-6 months for that breakthrough to happen. And I did that when I was in a band for 15 years and, Casting Crowns. Anybody knows Casting Crowns? So I like that band. Not that I love their music, but I love their heart. And I talked to them before and they'll be in a stadium of 60,000 chairs and their whole team before the event will go and lay hands on every chair and pray for every chair, for every single person that's going to be sitting in that chair. And I'm like, that's what I want. And I just started, you know, with a band and we started going out there. And so I saw him at a festival, the lead singer, I think his name's Mark. And I was like, hey, Mark. And he said, what? And I turned around and he's like, I don't know you. And I held out a $100 bill. And I gave it to him. And he's like, I said, this doesn't mean anything to you. But we're starting in the music industry, and I believe in sowing into good ground with faith. And he said, you're a strange guy. I've never met somebody like you before. I said, I just want to believe. I want to believe. So he took it, put it in his pocket, and he said, let me pray for you. He prayed, and our band had 5 number one singles. It works. So I'm saying whatever it is, have faith for it. Did you know that fasting, if you don't put faith behind it, you're just dieting. I used to, in the band, this is a great story. In the band, we were there and we were believing for a bus. We needed a bus real bad because we were in a little tiny van. We'd tour 100 and some days out of the year and we're like, we need a bus. So we were fasting and praying and calling out to God. And I realized that was wrong, or what I was doing at the time. I was fasting to get God's attention. It's kind of like the people that would tear off their clothes to get God's attention and throw dust in the air and do all that stuff to try to get God's attention. Fasting is not really as much about you and God as it is about you and your flesh. Even Jesus went out 40 days fasted. He wasn't trying to get closer to God. It's as close as he could ever get to God. He wasn't saying, God, hear me. I'm about to do something horrible. Be with me now. I don't want to go to the cross. He was getting his flesh in order because he was fully man. He was getting his flesh in order so that he could endure the cross. Because we say that we have all authority. We have all power. We can speak to this body and command healing, and we have authority in this world. But why doesn't things happen? Why doesn't it always work? I command healing in the name of Jesus. I feel sick still. That's because I've got 30 some years of listening to my flesh. 30 some years. And now I expect my flesh to listen to me when it's told me what to do for 30 some years. Think about it. Your body tells you when to eat, when to sleep, how much to eat, what you want to eat, and when to get dessert. When you feel sick, when you feel sad, when you feel happy, it tells you what to do all the time. And so fasting, when you put your faith behind it and you say, I'm going to tell you no for a while, and it lines up with the Word of God. It's kind of a cool thing. And some of the stuff in all areas of life, I was like, walk by faith. What does that mean? That's not just salvation. We had a whole bunch of kids up here, and they accepted Christ as their Savior, which is the most important decision you can ever make. The most important decision you can ever make. But I said, wouldn't it be ridiculous if we got up here and we were just saying, God, please go die on the cross. Send your son Jesus to die on the cross. Send your son, won't you send your son to die on the cross? That would be ridiculous because he already died on the cross. Our faith pulls what he's already done into the natural. When we apply our faith, things happen. The same thing, though, is we don't think it's ridiculous to stand here and say, God, will you please heal this person? God, will you please heal this person? God, will you please? It's the same thing if Dad can have a popsicle. You cannot get God to do something he's already done. You cannot convince God to do something he's already done and already said yes to. It says, by my stripes you are healed. Do we believe that, or are we still going to beg for it? We need to apply our faith and see something happen. So the just shall walk by faith. There's a lot of things out there that I believe that God has said to you and spoke over your life that you think, I can't do that. Or you've had a vision or a dream. Maybe you're younger. Maybe it's now. And you're like, I don't know how to do that. God told me, there's a dying generation out there. Go start youth conferences. Go get those youth. God, how do I do that? I can't do that. God, you saw my bank account. I don't know what to do, God. But he said to do it. And last season alone, we saw 2,000 students come to Christ. 2,000 students say, I want to serve Jesus. Tom saw what we were doing on Facebook and said, come to Marion. Come to Marion. So we said, we'll come to Marion. We'll come to Ohio every year. And we'll keep going. I want to read you guys a Bible story real quick. Is it okay to read a Bible story, church? I don't know. It's just, okay. It's in Matthew 4, 22 and 32 through there. This is one of my favorite Bible stories, and I'll tell you why in a moment. It says immediately, somebody say immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. I could probably just preach on that for a while, too, of just Jesus going by himself to go pray for a while. If Jesus needs a moment to go get away and pray, I think that's something to pay attention to. Now, when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrite. Contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. When Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. I could preach on when they got in the boat, the wind ceased immediately. I heard a lot of pastors and a lot of servants on this certain story just about how you keep your eyes on Jesus and then you won't sink. And that's great. And I totally believe that. But I want to take just a little different angle at this just because this is a powerful, powerful story. Because we think, well, Jesus can do anything. You know, Jesus is walking on the water. Yeah, it's Jesus. Big deal. He can do that. He's God. But here's a man walking on the water. How many know man can't walk on water? How many of you were younger and tried to run across the water? I still do once in a while. Doesn't work yet. I'm building up my faith. But man cannot walk on water. It just doesn't happen. But here, a man just like you and I goes and walks on the water. There's something cool, though, before that story. Did you know that there is facts in the world and there's truth? And sometimes they're not the same. Fact. You're broke. I looked at my wallet. I'm broke. Truth says, in the Word of God, you'll never be broke a day in your life. You think Donald Trump's little son, even though he looks in his wallet and there's nothing there, thinks he's broke? I doubt it. How much more to be a child of God, you never be broke a day in your life. All of your needs are met. Do you believe it or not? So there's facts and there's truth. Facts say, a while ago, the world is flat. That changed. Sometimes the facts will say, doctor will come in and say, I looked at this, this isn't good, you're going to die. You have a chance to believe that or believe the word of God and fight for that and say, I rebuke every word you said in the name of Jesus. I don't not have to accept that word. Because God says, by my stripes you are healed. So I'm going to stand on that until this fact changes. Fact is, man can't walk on water. Watch this. When Jesus was coming to him, here's what Peter did. This is brilliant. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. And Jesus said, what am I going to say? It's me. All right, come. Peter was smart. If it's you, tell me to come. Peter was not walking on water. He was walking on the word of God. And that changes facts all day long. So if there's something that God's placed in your heart that says, start this, do this. I want you to be a missionary here. I want you to give towards this. I want you to believe for this. And you say, God, all the what ifs come in immediately, because here's where the enemy attacks us, right here. As soon as God says you can do this, the enemy says, I can't do it. I can't do it. Fear and faith fight each other all day long. As soon as you're believing for a miracle, right here is fighting against you all day long. And so Peter, I don't care that he went under. I don't care if it was one step and he just stood there. That's a miracle. And he knew, if it's you, tell me to come. So whatever you're looking at and you're like, God, I believe that you've put this on my heart. If it's you, tell me to come. And whatever it is that God has for you, your facts then change. And you can stand on the word of God that he's placed in your life. And you can do the impossible. Because the word of God changes facts every single day. I have several friends that have been healed of cancer. They were told by doctors they will die. There was a girl last night. We prayed for her. She was on video. Was anybody here and seen that? Yeah. This girl got hit by a car 2 weeks ago, and she couldn't come to the youth conference. And they said, they told them for 2 days she's going to die, just prepare for the worst. And they said, do we rebuke that? No. She pulled out of it. They said, well, she'll be a vegetable. And they said, no, she will not be a vegetable. And they said, she's going to be a vegetable. We did all the tests. They said, no, she will not. She starts talking now, and she's moving around. They said, well, she probably won't walk. She's walking 700 steps a day now. Don't let the enemy get in your head, even if it's coming from a doctor that says, ah, this isn't going to happen. This is not going to be good for you. Because facts can change. God, how do we do a youth conference? I'm broke. I said do it. I didn't say how yet. Just do it. Okay. Yes, sir. We'll do it. And we saw 2,000 students come to Christ. We went to all throughout the U.S. We went to Jamaica. We went to Canada. And I'm like, God, I don't even know what we're going to do. I don't know how we're going to do it. And doors start opening up, opening up, opening up. And I had a bunch of people that had come to us and they're like, we're going to help you. We're for you. We're behind you. And then when things started to happen, they're like, we're just kidding. Go get them. We believe in you. Go get them. And I'm like, oh, ouch. Thank you, Lord. But God was testing us. He was putting us through this. We had to figure out how the whole thing works. I remember flying into, I was going into Topeka, Kansas, and I knew that I had like 60 tickets sold, and I was going to lose about $10,000. And I'm like, Lord, should we cancel? And I remember flying in over, I had a layover in St. Louis. And so I'm flying over, and I saw the dome, and I saw the arch. And I said, God, when I had a vision of this and what you told me we were going to do, we were in that kind of stuff. We were in stadiums. God, I thought we were going to do that. I'm going to fly here for 60 kids, and I'm going to lose 10 grand. God, what do I do? I thought you said we were going to do this. And he said, we are. You're not ready. I said, ouch, ouch, Lord. Are you kidding? He said, you're not ready yet. Get your team ready. God always builds the man before he builds the ministry. Always. And he showed us without over a year and a half now of how to do things right, where if I would have started in the stadiums and there would have been thousands of people, I would have been like, this is pure chaos. I don't know what I'm doing yet. And we would have been done. But a slow build with God's blessing and favor on it always wins. And so we were just encouraged on, you know, starting to build this. And these youth, oh my goodness, I could go on for 3 hours about the youth. Man, they're so broken, so hurt, so lost. I mean, it's not, okay, 2,000 students that we prayed for salvation. But all the students that we prayed for about depression, suicide, cutting, drugs, sexual identity, they're going through so much stuff that I couldn't even fathom. I met with a girl last week in Tennessee for 2 hours who was 11 years old. And she told me, she said, I want to date girls. I'm like, why? Well, it's easier to get a girlfriend in my school than a boyfriend. I'm like, you're 11 years old. Where's the dolls? What about a Barbie? Play with Barbies or something. Like, she said, well, I have 12 friends and they're all bi. I'm like, that's what we're dealing with? And the enemy is trying to destroy these kids in the head. She had an 11-year-old friend that was pregnant. I said, I don't even know what to say. Like, and we came to the fact, I said, honey, that's not who you are. That's not who you are. And we went back and I said, what, how did this start? I said, you said it's easier to have a boyfriend than a girlfriend. Or it's easier to have a girlfriend than a boyfriend. I said, it's not about even a relationship for you. what do you do at 11? What does a boyfriend or a girlfriend mean? What are you going to do? Hold hands when you walk to the room? And she laughed. She's like, no, we'll get in trouble if we do that. I said, it's not about that. It's about acceptance and you feeling loved. And you don't feel loved. And these are the only people who are saying that. And they feel the same way you do. It's about acceptance. Well, you're right. I said, don't go down that path. It'll destroy you. It will destroy you. And so we got to pray with her. And her mom came in and they were both bawling. And I said, you know, we need to get her some friends. We need to get her some people to stand with her. These students, I tell youth pastors all the time, I say, now is the easiest time in the world to build a youth ministry. It is. I don't have any kids. I have 2 kids. No, it's the easiest time ever. But I've got the best games. I've got the best video screens. I got the best this. I got the best that. No, you can't compete with the world in entertainment. Don't try to compete with the world in entertainment. You'll lose every single time. You can compete with the world in one thing that they don't have, and that's Jesus Christ. You can compete in that all day long. I said, here's what you do. Go look a kid in the eye. Give them a hug. Tell them you love them and you believe in them. Tell them you're going to stand with them and you're there for them and watch your youth ministry grow. All they do is they go to home, they get told this, that, and another thing, broken homes. I went to my kid's school for parent day. My kid was the only kid that had a mother and a father that was the same out of the whole school or that class, 30 kids. And so I'm just sitting there and kids start to come and sit with our group. Now I go in the school, they hang on your leg. It's not a this, that, and another thing. This generation is going to hell in a handbasket. They just want somebody to love them and believe in them. There's a fatherless generation. Where are the men in the church to stand up and say, I will father you. I don't care if you're my kid or not. You and me. Let's go fishing. Pour into these kids. So we have a mandate to go after this youth like never before. Like never before, because the enemy is coming so hard right here. All day long, what do they hear? What do they hear? Who's around them talking to them? It's not the word of God. So we're starting a movement. It's called Kingdom Movement. We could get the keys back up or the worship team. I'm wrapping up here. I want to tell you guys just a little bit about what we're doing. Is that all right? Did you get anything out of the message? All right. I just want to tell you guys a little bit about what we're doing and what God's called us to do. Because honestly, when God said to do it, I thought in my head that every person I met had a $1 million check for me. The Lord said, go get him. I've got you covered. Great. I'm going to go look in the fish's mouth. Lord, it's not in this one. Hi, my name is Ryan. I'm with Kingdom Youth. You have a $1 million check for me? We got a lot of youth to save. There's a whole world out there of youth that need to be saved. You're going to stand. No. Oh. Lord. And he said, stop that. You look like an idiot. Don't do that. I've got you. There's an army behind you. I said, Lord, there's nobody behind me. There's 16-year-old kids that were touched. He said, that's your army. Lord, they don't have any money. He said, ask for $5 a month. I can't do anything, Lord, with $5. I can't even get a Happy Meal anymore. Said it's not about the amount. It's about many people doing something together. Many people doing something together. And so I said, all right. Because it's not about the money. Can I be honest for a second? Tom, can I be a little bit honest? All right. We didn't come here for Marion, for all these students to make any money. In fact, we lost about $3,000-$4,000 doing this event. But you know what? It was worth it. It was worth it. It was worth it. It was worth it. If just one kid showed up and sat here and said, I'm going to follow Jesus every day of my life, it was worth it. Because we're one generation away from being extinct as Christians. One generation away. 80% of the youth will leave the church by the time they're 15 and never come back. That's the statistics we're dealing with. Why is it? I'll tell you why. And it's not this church, because I was here this morning. But we've taken God out of the church. We've taken the power of God out of the church. It's become a social club. You come and you hear a pretty message and you sing a couple cute songs. You tell the kids that it's, if there's no power of God in the church, what's the point? Well, let's go to a movie. These kids are not dumb. They want the real deal and they want truth. And we're going to go after them. And I just don't want them to say a prayer. I want them to be a Christ follower for life. I want to disciple them and stand with them through life. We call it Kingdom for Life, a kingdom movement, because we're standing with them from cradle to the grave. We're not just doing youth conference. We've got a Bible college coming. We're going to overseas for missions. We're doing stuff where we can touch this generation and build up leaders to send them out like Jesus did. He grabbed just 12 and said, what are we going to do? Go. Change the world. It's not about a number. It's about what are you doing with what you got. You're faithful in the little, you're faithful with the much. And right now, we're faithful with the little. And we're believing for the much. There's a hurt generation. We've got Tampa, Florida next weekend. We've got Dallas, Texas the weekend after that. We're going to Sacramento, California after the week. After that. Then my wife told me I have to come home for the holidays. Then in the spring we start off and we're doing Phoenix, Portland, we're doing Oklahoma City, Tulsa, Odessa, Houston, Texas, Kansas. We're going to Branson, Missouri. We're actually going to Nicaragua to do the first ever youth conference in Nicaragua. It's a little bit different there, where we're actually pulling kids out of the dump, getting them dewormed, cleaning them up, putting clothes and food on them, and then doing a youth conference to say, connect with a local church. We're connecting with pastors to say, this is a better way. They're giving them hope. Actually, we invited the students to come with us to Nicaragua. So if you want to go on a missions trip with us to Nicaragua, you guys are all invited. We're going to go at the end of June. And if that's something that you're like, I would love to go to Nicaragua and help with the youth conference and be a part of that missions trip, we're getting information to your guys' church. So Tom and whatever the information will be in the next couple weeks, they'll give you the information. If you want to go, great. If you don't, be praying for us. Be praying for us. We're going to do a love offering just for a moment. They said I could receive an offering. And that's why I talked about giving earlier too. So that's, I was just building. We've got some Vision Partner brochures. If you want to see what we're doing with Kingdom Youth, if you want to help us go after this generation like never before, we need you. We need you. If you're just getting a little bit something out of your wallet because I did a good job speaking, whatever, just save it and don't do that. But give in faith for the youth. If you want to give in faith. Pray over it before you put it in the offering and say, this is for 10 souls. This is for 20 souls. This is for 100 souls. Whatever you're believing for, do it in faith. But we have these. If you guys want to see what we're doing or more, I want to encourage you guys. They have them in the back that they'll hand out. If you want to see one of these and you say, I want to partner with Kingdom Youth. I want to go after this generation. Just raise your hand right now and they will give you a pamphlet. They will do that. It's got all the information in here. It's got some information on what we're doing for the youth. Great articles for the girls and some awesome pictures for the guys. Everybody said amen. But if you want to look at that and see what it is, in there as well, there is one of these cards. If you want to give monthly, we're asking for $5 a month, $2 a month, $1 a month. It doesn't matter. But if you want to be a part of it and give in faith, here's a card and it will be in there. So just raise your hand and say, I want to be a part of that. There's, it says one-time donation or monthly. You can check either of that. I can tell you how to spell million too if you're like, I really need to know. I'm writing a check. So, but if you want to do that, you just fill that out and we'll put you on our email list too to say, hey, this is where we were last week and this is what's happening. This is what God's doing. So you know what you're giving to and you know what you're a part of. You say, okay, 200 kids got saved in California and I was a part of that. Praise God. So you guys can fill this out. If you have that now, you can start filling it out. If you're going to do a check, you can write it to Kingdom Youth. Kingdom Youth. If you're going to do it with the card, you just grab one of these and fill it out. And then I'll keep your information for gas on the way home too. So just kidding. Come on, lighten up. The Holy Spirit didn't leave yet. Smile at me. Well, we thank you guys so much. The ushers can come forward and receive the offer. I'm going to invite Pastor back up. Thank you guys so much for letting me be here. Thank you for letting Kingdom Youth be here. Many lives were touched this weekend because of you guys, because of your awesome man of God, Pastor. Thank you guys.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate that. Ryan is going to be available up here. He just really has a heart to pray with ones. If you had dreams or just feel, just want to release, he said he's going to be up here. But I'm also invite our personal ministry team, if you would come up, if you would like to have in prayer for any of these. I know we've heard from many of these, we've heard a lot about ones receiving Jesus as your Savior. If you've never made that commitment or you're just not sure where you are with that, these the ones up here with the personal ministry team can pray with you about that or anything else you'd like prayer for. If we could go ahead and stand, Justin and the worship team is going to lead us in worship. The ushers, I know they're, I think they're already passing through. But thank you very much. Appreciate that. But go out and be the light of the world. And wherever God's put you, that's your mission field. So just believe for God to touch the area, the people He's put in your life. So God bless you.
To be praised. God, I just pray that we would walk in that power that you call us to, that we belong to you. We're the children, sons and daughters of the Most High God, and there's nothing that's impossible for you. God, I just pray that you continue to release destiny and callings into our life, Father, that we can move forward in you, that we can be that light in this world in all that we do. So, Father, we say that we love you. We give our praise and our adoration to you and all that we do. And everybody said, amen. Have a great week, guys.